Let me just try and say a couple of things, even by way of introduction. When you are when you're speaking in a room, so you will often try to, if you're up to speak in front, so you're often looking for certain facial expressions in the crowd. Often when you're speaking, it's great if you see people and they are smiling or they're laughing. Often when you're speaking, you're looking around and you want to see that people are with you, and often you want to see that they're enjoying themselves. I was asked to speak not that long ago. I was asked to speak here to try to speak about some of the events of what have of what's happened, to try to do my best and give us, hopefully, some understanding. It's a very different kind of talk. We're not going to be quoting a lot of Mekoros. We're not going to be quoting a lot of sources. It's not towards a goal at all of people smiling and saying, wow, that was awesome. It's not what we're going for. My primary goal is to try to give us a little bit of perspective, to try to give us a little bit of insight into what has been going on and what I think are a couple of the thoughts. I'll be honest, I did not find out I was speaking, and it's an odd thing to even say, until right before my basketball game started this afternoon. Let's even begin by, the summer is supposed to be a time of fun. The summer is supposed to be a time when we relax. It's supposed to be a time when it's a bit of a break from all that happens throughout the year. And every year in the summer, some of us, if we get into it, it always seems like something's off. We always have the 3 weeks in the middle of the summer. It's sort of like, again, if you have not the right perspective, it almost like ruins elements of my enjoyable summer. And sometimes in moments when we want to have a little bit of a better time, moments when many of us, I know my 8-year-old was looking forward to a 3-on-3 tournament today. And suddenly it's not gonna happen. And suddenly some of the things that we were looking forward to may not necessarily be there. And all I can do with you right now is share with you some of my thoughts, share with you some of what I've been thinking about since last night when I got home from shul last night. And my wife said to me a couple minutes in, after we had, I'd been home for a little bit, we had cleaned up a bit, we had made Havdalah. My wife said to me after checking the computer, did you see yet what happened? I can say with enormous pain that I moved to Eretz Yisrael 5 years ago. It's not the first time that my wife has asked me that question. And I know the answer is never. The way she asked it and her facial expressions, I knew it wasn't that good. And my own natural reaction, I will be honest with you, when those things happen, is I will often say to her along the lines of, no, I didn't hear yet. And I'm sorry I say this sometimes. It's wrong. I'll say, I'm not sure I want to know either. I'm not sure I can handle it. I remember Sukkot of last year. I had come home from a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. My wife asked me the same question. Did you hear what happened? I said, no, what happened? There was a young couple, she said, who was they were killed in the road. Their children were in the car. She said, do you want to know the name? I said, honestly, no. I don't want to know the name. I then made them. You can't control yourself in these situations. She then told me the name, Eitam Henkin. I right away was taken aback. I didn't know him at all. I was a fan of his Sfarim. I went, this is last year's Sukkot. I went to the Sefer that was next to my bed. I had been learning a Sefer with a lot of his, where some of his Torah was quoted. Checking. There are times where you have these questions. You know, so when I asked my wife last night, she said, what happened? I said to her, I really don't know if I want to know. She knows I don't really mean it. She knows I am interested in knowing. She knows I think it's important to know. And she said to me, there was a family. Details were just coming in then, Motzei Shabbos. The names hadn't been out yet. I'm not sure how many of us know exactly what's going on sometimes. And in settings like this, it becomes harder to totally be up to date. I hope the facts I'm going to share with you right now are entirely accurate. It's what I've read, but things are still up in the air a little bit. There was a family. It was a family that was celebrating a Shalom Zachar. Child was born into the family. It's a Friday night. They invite the community over. The grandfather, one of his daughters, his son, the wife, a terrible, terrible attack. A terrible, terrible attack. Father, his son, and daughter, all in their 30s and 40s, the son and daughter, viciously attacked. Their mother, still in the hospital, attacked with a knife, bought 2 days earlier. You know how the terrorist got into their house? You know how he got in? Unbelievable. He knocked on the door. They thought he was coming in to participate in the Shalom Zachar. They thought he was coming in to participate in their joyous occasion. He had to climb over a fence to get into the yeshuv where they were living. But to get into the house was very, very simple. What was, from the perspective of the family, a simple and pure act of welcoming people into their home, hachnasas orchem, participating and spreading a certain kind of joy, was viciously ended at that moment. The neighbors across the street describing how they were finishing up their Shabbos meal, waiting to head over, waiting to go just right across the street to participate in that Shalom Zachar. Suddenly the end of their Shabbos meal is interrupted by the terrible screams, the terrible sounds that they hear. I say we want the summer to always be a time of joy. We want the summer to be a time which is just relaxing and everything's easy and it's all good. That isn't always the nature of life. It isn't always the way that things work out. And then we have two choices. Choice number one is to pretend like nothing happened. To just move on. To just continue and let everything stay the same way it was. And it's a choice which many make. But the real way to go is to try to understand, to try to take something, to try to appreciate a little bit so we can connect, we could build, we could learn, and sometimes so we could mourn. We could just be sad. I'll share with you two things. Two experiences that I had from my angle, I live in one of the Bli Ayin Hara, one of the safer places in Eretz Yisrael. Very rarely, nothing's happening where I live. Again, Bli Ayin Hara. I'll tell you two things. One, I remember last year, I'm not going to say the name, although many of you know who it is. I remember last year, Parshas Chayei Sarah. I was home for Shabbos, had a lot of, was zocha to have a bunch of company, a bunch of guys who were over throughout the day. Shabbos ends, and those of you who know him, I'm not good, I don't have Facebook or Twitter, I am not, let alone like Instagram and Snapchat or anything else, it's not my zone, as you would say. I got a WhatsApp, it's the best I got. I got a WhatsApp from Shlomo Stark, for those of you who know him. Did you hear of Motzei Shabbos, not that long after Shabbos? Did you hear about, and he said the last name, I don't want to say now because he's very, a bit tanua about it. What happened with him? So I had a Talmud of mine. He had been in my shir the previous year. He came back for Parshas Chayei Sarah. He came back Parshas Chayei Sarah, as many do, to go visit Chevron. On his way to Ma'aras HaMachpelah on Friday afternoon, so he was shot by a sniper. It's a very intense thing. It's very, very intense on a Motzei Shabbos to to drop everything. I hope none of us ever have this experience. And you have to go visit a Talmud. He got in on Thursday. We spent over an hour together on Thursday talking about nothing so serious compared to this. You hear about Emoti Shabbos, you automatically get in the car just to go and to be Mevaker Cholim, to go and see how he's doing, to go to see exactly what's going on. I'll tell you what's a very challenging part of it. He came over a couple of weeks ago when he was flown back by the Justice Department. They flew him back to Eretz Yisrael so he could testify in the sentencing trial against the attempted murderer. He had to walk into a military court. He had to face the two guys who had tried to kill him. It was either their 11th or 12th time they had tried to kill someone. He had to walk in there. He had to make a statement and testify against them. He's a very, very pleasant person. He's very laid back. I think it's healthy. He'll make jokes with me about it all the time. And that's probably fine. But you know what's really hard about it? He's sitting at my dining room table, and we're having a conversation. It's just a couple weeks ago about what it's like to be in that room with the terrorist there. You know what was really hard? When my children are sitting around the table and asking what we're talking about. When my 8-year-old and my 6-year-old and my 4-year-old are sitting there and they ask what happened to him. You don't want to tell them what happened. We want to protect our children from things like this. We don't want them to know what's going on. We want to pretend like it's fine. But sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes we don't have that choice just to leave it like that. Again, I'm sorry for the... I don't know if I'm sorry. It is a little bit heavier, and it's not as fun and not as exciting. I'll go with one more. 3 years ago, three boys are kidnapped and murdered. One of the boys lived about a 7-minute walk away from my house, Naftali Frankel. I spoke to some of the 11th graders about this earlier in the summer. I remember it. It's very, very intense. Three boys taken captive, weeks not knowing exactly where they are. Some of us were in Eretz Yisrael for that summer and can remember what it was like when the cold then went up north for a while. I remember on Friday, we'll go back to the WhatsApp, my phone starts buzzing, my wife's phone starts buzzing. And it says there's going to be a tefillah in the local shul. Details are not yet out there. They're not publicizing it in the news yet. But one of the boys in the community went missing. No idea, no way of knowing what exactly that means. Subsequently, we found out that one of the boys was trying to tramp home, was trying to get his way home, and was kidnapped. I'll tell you what was hard. The next 2 weeks, so in the area around where I live, in Nofi alone, an area right where I live, so it was a heavy time. There was a tent set up outside the home of the Frankels. Learning going on came out all day right outside the home. There were times where the streets are going to be closed because the prime minister is coming to visit. The media is around trying to see what's going on. But I'll tell you again what one of the hardest parts was. My wife, in the middle of that stretch, had a fellowship. Her fellowship demanded, it was part of it, that she had to go to a conference in America for 3 days. Conference in Atlanta. It was very hard for her to go altogether. It was a time when she felt like the right thing to do is to stay in Eretz Yisrael. But it's not what she went. It was part of the deal. She had signed a contract. She went there. While she was gone, they found the bodies of the three boys. In my family, I assume many are like this, That's a conversation. My son, I didn't want my son to know about it. My son at the time was 5 years old, 6 years old, the oldest. I didn't want him to know about it. I didn't have that luxury. My son goes to the same school where Naftali Frankel went to. My daughter goes to the same school as his sisters. It's all out there. You couldn't protect, you couldn't avoid it. My wife typically is the one that has those conversations. Unfortunately, they have to happen. That'd be a her conversation. She's in America, and you're forced to sit down with a 5 or 6 year old kid and to tell them just some of what happened. They found the bodies. They found the bodies. You can't avoid it sometimes. I want to just living in Eretz Yisrael is so incredibly meaningful. It is so beautiful, and it comes with so much joy, so much simcha. When you're living for ideals, when you're striving to help guide, to be part of something great, that's part of what being in Eretz Yisrael is. Part of being in Eretz Yisrael is not just all the wonderful phrases, many from Chazal that we're familiar with. It's not just the Gemara of Avir Da'ara Machim, in Eretz Yisrael we're smarter. It's not just, whatever it really means, it's not just in Torah, Ketores Eretz Yisrael. It's not just like the Zohar says, that if the Yisrael Sem B'Simcha can specifically be felt more powerfully in Eretz Yisrael, all of that is true. But also, a component of it is being part of a Klal Yisrael. A part of it is being part of a nation that sometimes has struggles along the way. And sometimes those struggles, sometimes the things, I can't look at the pictures online of the scene of that home this past Friday night. How many people here have seen those pictures? I can't do it. You see it at the corner of your eye. Some of us may, we don't want to see those things. We also sometimes can't not. We sometimes can't make the choice of pretending like nothing happened. And sometimes, the very powerful question to ask, this which Soloveitchik in a different context spoke about, is, and this is a real question. What now? What now? Part of the Kollel is at the Levaya now, or at least on their way. It was an odd thing driving over here. I live right near Modi'in. It's in a cemetery in Modi'in where the Levaya is. So here I am, no traffic on the way. I'm driving from Modi'in to come here to Beit Meir and talk. It's the other way, the other direction where there's more traffic. It's on the way towards Modi'in where people are going to participate a bit in the Levaya. We'd rather it never happen, but we often don't have that choice. We often aren't. It happened. So now what do we do? I want to share with you two thoughts. Both of which I think are very important. One hopefully can be even more powerful. Rashi writes in Maseches Sukkah, a bit of Maseches Ksubis. One of the things we do when we mourn is show a degree of kavod hames, honor for the person who passed away. I say with pride, we all did that today. The fact that we made a statement that the day as scheduled was not going to be how it was going to persist, that though it was supposed to be a great day of 3-on-3 tournament, though it was supposed to be a day of many people looking forward to all the activities surrounding it, to the slushies if they're there, or to the spike bowl, whatever else it is, that you're looking forward to a lot of different things. We made a statement that we were not going to continue as usual. This time right now, we don't usually, some of us hopefully do, most of us don't usually learn at this time. The Beis Medrash is not often as filled at this time, at 6:35, as it is now. That's a statement of kavod. It's a statement of honor. It's a statement that if some tragedy happened, we are going to, we're going to recognize it. But I want to tell you something else. In we're back at WhatsApp again. Same group. I saw right before I left something exceptionally powerful. The woman who was killed, so it was a grandfather celebrating the grandchild Shalom Zachar. The baby was just born that week. His son, his daughter-in-law and kids were able to escape. They went to hide somewhere else in the house and saw what was happening. And there was a daughter in her 40s who was murdered. She was a teacher. Going around a bit, saw it a bit online, saw it on my phone as I was on the way here. Someone had posted what this teacher used to write when she gave out her report cards. It's her Levaya right now. What did she write on her report cards? We all get them. We all get them. Most of the time, I don't know what it's like now, even I was there, it was just a grade. That's all we got. Gemara, X, Chumash, this, biology, this. It was just a grade. Once in a while, if you would have a teacher who was maybe a bit more sensitive, if you had a teacher that was trying just to give some chizik, some support, so you can have once in a while, I think, maybe someone saying, good job, great progress. She used to put a card, I believe, into all of her report cards, a separate piece of paper. Unbelievable what she wrote in all of them. She wrote the following. I'll give my version of it rather than read it in the original Hebrew. She wrote like this. The equivalent of, I know getting report cards often comes with a degree of pressure. You're sitting at home and you're waiting in the mail. If it's online, I have no idea what happens now. When you get that, you're sometimes... you're a bit nervous. How did I do? I can tell you when you're in high school, you're nervous. I can tell you for having been in college and speaking to some of your madrichim, they're also nervous before their grades are posted. And sometimes what can happen is, and many of us may have seen this at times in finals when you're taking them in school, it gets very intense. And they become, in a certain sense, a kind of priority. And she wrote as follows. Please remember the following. Much as this is all important, and much as your grades are important, these tests are not the ultimate tests. The real test that we are striving for is going to be the one, Lifnei Melech Malchei Hamalachim, that eventually we're going to stand before the Ribono Shel Olam. And there she wrote, the grades are not going to say biology this and math that. It's going to say as follows. Were you patient? Were you sensitive? Were you helpful towards others? What were you like in terms of the cultivation of your own midos, of the interactions that I have with other people? What she was trying to teach her students, and again, when you're teaching, it's a lot of long hours she spent investing in giving over information to her students. She's very, very invested in all of her students believing that math is really important and chemistry is really important. She's dedicating so much of her time towards the subjects that she's giving them grades for. This is what she's doing with so much time, so much investment is geared towards trying to teach them how that which we're learning matters, and invest in it and work in it and study for your tests and do your homework. All of those are messages that are so important. And I have no doubt she gave them to her students. But she wanted to teach them something a bit more powerful. She wanted to teach them something that was even more intense. A lot of things in life, sometimes moments like this, they're terrible. They're terrible. You've seen the pictures. You have insight into how terrible it is. If you saw the picture, if any of you did, it's incredible, of the table set for the Shalom Zachar. And on the right hand, on the right side of the pit, I can't... the signs of the of the murders of the attacks. Sometimes events like this, without taking away, again, breaks, without taking away from what is hopefully an enjoyable summer, without taking away from what is hopefully a time when we're loving it, they sometimes are there and can serve as reminders for us about what is most important, about what things do we really value, about what tests matter more and what tests don't matter as much, about the way in which we interact with other people, about the importance of midos. I'll tell you something interesting. Rabbi Yecheskel Yaakovson, a Rebbe of mine, used to always say the following. Whenever someone would pass away, and here I leave this for you in terms of what you want to do, he used to always say like this. When someone passes away, in particular, someone who did not pass away at the end of a very, very long life. Someone passed away at a time when you feel like their work was not yet done. Someone passed away at a time when you feel, when there can be a hargash, a bit of a feeling that they had a lot more to give. He used to say that part of our reaction has to be, based on Gemara Masechta Shabbos, part of our reaction has to be to fill that void. To fill that void. There was someone who was promoting a message. And now that message is no longer being promoted. There was someone who was trying to encourage people to grow in a certain kind of way. And now she's not going to be doing it anymore. It's not going to be able to be done the same way. Part of our achrayus, I believe, is to try and understand that message. To try to understand that which she was giving over. And do something with it. And do something with it. There was a teacher that every time she gave her report card would always teach her students that important as that was, there's something more chashev. She emphasized in particular the way that we interact with those around us. That was what she emphasized. A certain kind of cultivation of midos, of how I interact. Am I patient enough? Am I welcoming enough? It's a big program here. A lot of people. Am I doing my best to be as welcoming as possible? When these things happen, I believe part of what we want to do is to try to understand what can we sort of continue as a result. Here's someone that sold a message and maybe try to learn from it. I want to just go over a little bit what we said. Living in Eretz Yisrael, being in Eretz Yisrael is awesome. It's a fulfillment of a mitzvah for many, if not all. It is an opportunity to be in the land that our avos wanted to be in. It's a land which Chazal believe has an increased kind of simcha often. It's a different kind of Torah. I think we've all experienced a lot of that this summer, I hope. It is also a place where we're seeing a certain unfolding of history. It's a place where it's not always going to all be awesome. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit sad. Sometimes we're going to have to interact with people that don't like us that much. And we can make the choice of pretending like it doesn't exist. We can make the choice sometimes of saying, I don't want to leave it on the side. And sometimes I think the right choice to make is to be able to be in it a little bit, to be a bit sad, to make a statement that if Kavod HaMeis, the day can't go on as usual, that 6:45 today we're learning Torah, 6:45 today we're taking something. I think one of the great things that we have the ability to do going forward, again, the Nefteres gave a message. The message was the importance of midos. The message was the importance of being welcoming and nice to others. I would suggest, if it's not my place to, but if it's okay, I would suggest, if we all do one small thing, it's an unbelievable schus for the Nefteres. One guy you don't know, and you go over to him and you introduce yourself, one person's walking in the Chadar Ochel, looks like he's having a hard time finding a place to sit, and you invite him over in a nice way. One time you have a roommate who's having a hard time and you're just there. One small thing it's strengthening and building upon her legacy. Beginning of 9 days, it's a time of mimatin b'simcha, it's a time of not always as much joy. May we be zocha by properly, I think, being mishtatev, being part of the tzibor, being part of Klal Yisrael, understanding the power of certain moments. May we be zocha to learn from them. May we be zocha to the best of our capacity to carry on her legacy. And may the Ribono Shel Olam bless us with times of pure simcha, with times of just joy, and us no longer having to participate or hear any of these kinds of words of tremendous sorrow. May we be zocha to those yimei simcha. It's again, thank you very much for listening, and may we do our best to learn from and carry on a certain kind of legacy.